Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Remember, we were over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we got down to around verse 9. We're going to continue at verse 10 and just kind of finish up that chapter. We were talking about, but know this. That was the title of the message. Knowing certain things that we have to know. In the end times, as it seems to be playing out more and more, I don't know how many of you guys think the same way that I do. As I look at Scripture, as I look at the news, as I look at the world, I look at the weather, I look at everything that's going on, and I just like, wow. But nevertheless, just so many things. It's interesting because unbelievers are asking questions like, what does it all mean? Why would they ask you? I mean, there must be something about you that they know that you might have a clue. If you've been reading the Word, if you've been following God, you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you know. We know what's going on. The world is just coming to a place and a time where it's going to be turmoil. It's going to be crazy. Eventually, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, eventually the Holy Spirit's going to be lifted. In the book of Revelation, it seems like it's over around chapter 4, I think it is, right after they get into chapter 4, and all of a sudden he's caught up, just like the word rapture, he's caught up into the heaven, he's at the throne room of God. And it's interesting because the Holy Spirit seems to have been lifted. It might have been, it seems like it's the first third perhaps, or the beginning, don't really know. I can't pinpoint it, and I don't think we're meant to pinpoint it. I've heard pastors, even good, solid Bible-teaching pastors, predict the rapture, and they missed it. If someone tells you the rapture is going to happen on such and such a date, you can bet that it's not going to happen on that day. Why? Because the Bible's very clear. No man, or woman, or child, or living creature on this earth of flesh knows. No man knows the time or the hour. Therefore, if they were to tell you, remember in the 70s when they had the gasoline crunch? There was long lines at the gas station. I remember filling up on Saturday night or something in Española because the town would kind of shut down during Sundays. And everybody would get the gas because there wasn't going to be any, they said. There was a shortage. Well, you know what? If you didn't have the gas, you weren't going anywhere, more likely than not. And if you were going to get some, somebody selling it under the table, it was going to cost you a lot. And here the Bible tells us, keep your lamps filled with oil. Oil being a type of the Holy Spirit. Now that the Holy Spirit is here, bask in His presence. Go wherever you need to go to be just immersed in the Holy Spirit. If it means going to your room and just laying everything aside, getting alone with the Lord, getting into the Word, you know, wherever the Holy Spirit is moving, if it's in the church, go to the church. And wherever people congregate in the presence of the Holy Spirit, true believers of God, be sure you're one of them. Make no doubt. Oh, how do you know? Look at your life. Look at your style of life and see if it matches with the Word of God. You will never be perfect. I will never be perfect, but we should do everything we possibly can to be about the work of our Father, to be about His business, letting people know, showing kindness and love and all that goes with it. Last week we saw that perilous times will come. That word perilous, times of stress. But know this, he said, men will be lovers of themselves. Doesn't mean homosexuality. They'll love themselves. They'll indulge in themselves. Men and women, just all about themselves. Remember, we looked at the word in the Greek, you know, all about self and selfish and owning what they want to own for themselves, regarding what it means to others, taking from, destroying. It doesn't matter. It's all about me. Boasters, prideful, blasphemers, impetuous, showing no respect for man or God. That's what that word blasphemers in the original language means. Impetuous, showing no respect for man or God. There's no respect of life as we see the war of abortion going on and on, you know. And praise God for those who are standing up for the innocent blood that's being shed. And they're getting mocked. They'll be mockers, it says. Isn't it interesting how everything God says lines up, especially when you're walking in the Spirit of God, you know that you know that you know you know that it's right or it's wrong. There's no question as if or but. There's no excuse. We know. Know this thing, he told us. And now we get to a point in chapter 3, verse 10, where we're going to go on a little bit further. And the title of this message isn't Know This, it's Fully Known. These are things that you need to know. Some people will know them, gnosis, not epignosis. Gnosis, they'll know them, but they won't follow them. They won't change who they are. They won't conform to God's will. And I don't know. Nobody can say you're going to heaven, you're not going. Nobody knows. But I don't want to take that chance, do you? I want to stay as close to the spout where the blessings come out, if it were. Right under the shower of the Holy Spirit, wherever you're at. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would allow us to be fully known. We know that we're fully known by you, just like that song says, Lord God, on the radio. But Father, help us to fully know what it is that you expect from us, Lord God. Where we stand with you. How we're to follow. What will we do under pressure? Will we crack? Will we fall and go with the ways of the world? Or will we stand strong, Father, till the very end? Till we're in the presence of God. Whether by rapture or death, Father, worshiping you, praising you. Lord God, you paint a very beautiful picture of heaven and what you have in store for us, Lord. And we can't even fathom or imagine. But right now we're in a war, Lord God. And Father, help us to be able to make it through. Give us the strength supernaturally, Lord God, spiritually, that will help us to pull away from the things that are not right in our life. Whatever they may be, even if they're not sin issues, Lord, maybe they're health issues or any kind of other issues, Lord God. Help us to not even give the appearance of evil like your word says, Lord. Help us to guard our walk so that others can come to us and say, what's going on? That they would seek wisdom from us as we seek wisdom from the Holy One. And we ask all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In chapter 3, verse 10, following God, be fully known. It says right here, but you have carefully followed. Where did I get the title of the message right here in this phrase, carefully followed? It means fully known, or at least it's written as fully known in the Old King James. Who's he writing to? He's writing to Timothy, so let's get back in context here. In context, Timothy is a pastor, remember? And he's out there. It seems like he's hitting hard times. He's in the battle big time. Paul is writing this letter to encourage him, to instruct him, to lead him down the path of godliness as a leader in the body of Christ, in the church where he's planted, where he has followers of every kind. In a church, there's all kinds of followers. You'll have all kinds of personalities. And he says, you have carefully followed my doctrine. What's Paul's doctrine? The doctrine of Jesus Christ. That's all he's trying to say. Not that he wrote some doctrine. He wrote everything and is writing about those 3 years that he spent in Arabia in the desert. And he says, you know my doctrine. I preach the gospel. What do you preach? The gospel. What should you preach? The gospel. What do you live? The gospel. How should you live? By the words of the gospel. These are our guidelines as what we should do and not to do. And he says, my manner of life. How do you show other people who Christ is? Your manner of life. Especially if you were a jerk in your former years. But we see that it's not our former life. It's the life we have now. Our manner of life now. What is it doing? What is it saying to those around us? Because you know they're watching you. Especially the people you used to hang out with. They are watching you. Your family, ooh, they're watching you. I love it because my brother watched me for years. I've shared this with you guys. And he's asked some real questions. He's asked some real questions. What do these signs mean? He quoted scripture to me the other day. I was like, whoa. I watered it down. You know how we water down scripture to make it not sound like scripture, but yet we're giving the principle of scripture because you know they're going to get upset. You don't want to be a jerk. You want to do things out of love and kindness. And you give them the principle of the Word of God. And he quoted me the scripture. And I said, wow, that's cool. Something's happening. You never know. That's why it's important for us to pray. That's another portion of your manner of life. Fully known in the Greek, it means to follow near, to attend, trace out. In elementary, when I was there, we would have papers and books. I think it was called reading and phonics and stuff like that. And they would have the letter A. And you would do the A, trace it out, and then you start doing it on your own in these lines. B, how to make the B, you know, and you trace it out. That's kind of what this word means. Fully known, tracing out the markings that are in the Word of God. Whether you quote it verse by verse by verse, word by word, exactly the way it is, or whether you give the principle of God, because remember, there's principles there. God will give you wisdom when to do which. God is the one who prompts us by the ministering of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that ministers to us what to say, how to say it, how to reach them. If it's a rebuke, if it's an encouragement, if it's upholding them, if it's a word of knowledge. There's a word of knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives that you say something, you had no clue what they are going through, and they're like, you've been talking to my wife? I'm not talking to your wife. You talked to my mom? No, I didn't talk to your mom. How did you know? That's exactly what I'm going through. That's a word of knowledge. That comes through prayer, through the study of the Word, through tracing God's Word out in your heart. That's what that is. And it says, you know, your manner of life, your purpose, the manner of life, the way it's done. We follow the doctrine, the beliefs. We conform to them. We attain to them. We fully know them. We understand them. That's why we're able to share them. And it says, your purpose, manner of life, purpose of faith. The word is pistis. It means truthfulness of God, reliance upon Christ for salvation, constancy. This is what we should have, constancy in our life. It says faith, of course, there's our faith. Long-suffering, that's patience, as we all know. When he mentions the word long-suffering, it's patience. But then you should know that you need perseverance. Perseverance, you need to be able to persevere, to be constantly diligent, giving yourself to God. Constantly diligent, always applying, always seeking for opportunity to do the right thing. When the wrong thing presents itself, the right thing is to walk away from it. When the wrong thought enters your mind, the right thing is to change your thought pattern. Memorizing scripture is great for that. Listening to worship songs is good for that. You know how it is. You listen to songs over and over. You've heard them 100 times. When something bad comes before you, put something good. Replace it with something good. Something godly. So there's perseverance. And then in verse 11, so that's following. And now from verse 11 to 17, we see that there's going to be pressures upon you. Remember what he said in verse 1? But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. The times, perilous means times of stress. That means pressure. Pressure, pressure, pressure. From all areas. It says persecutions will come. That's one form of pressure. You can be persecuted from people. People that know you, people that don't know you and make opinions of you. From the way you dress to the way you comb your hair to the way the vehicle you drive, whatever it is, outside pressure. But then there's inward pressure. Who do you think you are? Why are you like this? I don't understand why you're not like that. And these things that start to weigh on our emotion. Talk down pressure. You're nothing to me. I don't care about you. You know, all these things, these hateful, hurtful, harsh words. Persecutions. Afflictions. Afflictions in the original language, it's suffering a passion to undergo hardship, pain, and suffering when your emotions get hurt. How many of you have never been hurt emotionally? We know what it's like. We know, I don't care if it's the strongest man in the world, they get hurt emotionally. I don't care if they show it or not. I was good at not showing emotion. That was my thing. No biggie. Didn't mean that it didn't hurt me. I just wouldn't show it. We all are affected by these types of afflictions. And then if you become a Christian, people are going to specifically target you. Say something to hurt you. To try and damage the faith that you have. to try and make you just think for a moment, I don't know, God, is this worth it? Have you ever thought that? I think that a lot. As persecution hits, I'm no different than any one of you. And when persecution and hurts penetrate me, I say, oh God, I don't need this. There's really no reason for me to be here, God. You know, anyone else can do it that knows the word. But then we come to our senses. That's what persecution does. That's what affliction does. That's what talking down does. That's what hurtful things do. They discourage us from the path. That's a design by the enemy. Or Christians who walk disorderly, the Bible said, can affect us. And it says that there are afflictions which happen to me. Think about it, Paul. He says there were persecutions, there was afflictions. The word persecution means to pursue, go after, suffer, to press forward. You're going to suffer. They're going to come after you. Just press forward. Just keep leaning in towards Jesus. Just keep leaning in harder towards Jesus. All these things that come into our life are trying to just drag you to and fro. Sometimes they're very powerful things, but that's okay. Whatever we suffer on this earth, God has something for us way better. Paul has suffered. He's been dragged around all over the place. He knows what it's like. And he's telling Timothy, see, we see another point here where Timothy is probably being beat up by everything and everyone around him. He says, Timothy, it happened to me. If it happened to me, it's going to happen to you. Don't lose heart. It happened to me at Antioch. Antioch is an interesting word. It's actually this Syrian capital. Turn, if you will, real quick to the book of Acts. And we'll take a look at this word, Antioch. In the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 21 through 20, Antioch. Antioch, it says here in verse 19, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen's travel as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. So the word of God was going out, but only to the Jews. And Stephen, we'll see him in chapter 7, he was the first martyr. And as he was martyred, he was praying for them. He says, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. As he was being stoned to death, a slow, agonizing death, he says, Lord, just forgive them. And they were preaching with Antioch and preaching the word to no one but the Jews. And some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists. Hellenists were Greek-speaking Jews. Jews typically spoke Hebrew, but because of the dispersion, they were dispersed, they were broken up. All these people were scattered. And there was Hellenists who spoke Greek, and they were preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And they learned other languages, and they were able to preach to the Gentile friends that they had made. And go, if you will, to verse 26. It says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The first time. My first experience with the Holy Spirit was in a place or a gathering they called Antioch. It was biblical. It was being done biblically. Forget the religious part. They threw the religion out the door and they were trying to reach kids, lost kids, college kids who are partying and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy it says that it happened to him in Antioch. They persecuted him there. And they took on the name Christian. Before they were known people of the way. Now they're called Christians. And they were in Iconium. Iconium as a verb means in the Greek to resemble or be like. Keep that in mind. First time they're called Christians, resemble or be like. And then Lystra is Timothy's home. You know what came to me was as I was reading this is We need to go back and remember where we gave our life to Jesus. Remember the passion, the joy. Because sometimes walking or going through the warfare, we get hit, we fall down, we're broken, we sin, we do all this stuff, and we need to get back to that place where we have the joy. That first time where you called yourself, I'm a Christian now. I can't believe it. I'm a Christian. I can't believe I'm a Christian. I've heard of this. I thought it was weird. It's so good. And you remember the joy when you just felt that weight of sin just kind of lift off of your body. We need to remember those Antioch days. We need to reassemble ourselves again. Reinvent is what the world says, but we need to reassemble. Be like Jesus. Start assembling your life in the pattern that Jesus has laid out for us. And oh yeah, just like Timothy was reminded of his home where he had that genuine faith. Remember with your genuine faith where our home really is. It's not here. God has prepared a place for us. It goes on to say, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, you know about them, Timothy. And out of all of them, not half of them, not a third of them, not two-thirds of them, out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. We need to get to that place of reassembling where we know that God will deliver you. He will deliver you. You just have to face Him again and start walking towards Him. Paul has. Timothy will. And it says in verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly, which is all of our desire, hopefully, to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them or him out of all of them. Psalm 34. It's okay, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to suffer. But it's okay. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue. You have to keep going on. What are you going to do? Turn away now? Go back to the old sin? See the same stupid shows? Look at the same stupid stuff over and over? You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Timothy, it wasn't me who taught you. It was God. It wasn't Lois and your mom and your grandmother. It was God. Yes, God used these people, and all of you have people in your life that God has used tremendously, but it was God. And that from childhood, you have known the Scriptures, Timothy, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And remember, Tim, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction. Sometimes we need to reproof our life. We need to go through certain Scriptures. Not sometimes, always. We finish one book, you should jump in another one right away, and it refreshes your memory. It's for reproof. Oh, I'm not doing that. I used to do that. I'm going to do that. Oh, I'm not doing that. I need to get back. For correction, don't be doing that. You know when God tells you, don't do it no more. He gives you a thump. Ever had a thump? Just trying to get your attention so that you don't trip and fall flat. All Scripture is given by inspiration and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, equipping you to walk righteously. If we do the things He tells us to, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Whatever it is that God has you doing, if He has you doing it, it's a good work. And you know if it's a good work. You know what God wants from you. Imposters, they're going to get worse and worse. They're going to be evil. They'll deceive. Don't let that be you. Don't be an imposter. Don't be an actor. The word hypocrite comes from the word actor. But you must continue being wise in your salvation. You must continue to breathe the breath of God. Get in the Word, the doctrine. It's God breathed. The word inspired means God breathed. Get in the Word and get a breath of life. You must continue to be complete. Be complete as much as is possible with you. And you must continue to be fully known. How do you get fully known? Well, if you're a politician, you get on TV and you spend about $80 million on ads so that people will fully know. As a Christian, you don't do that necessarily publicly. You could if you want. Or you can just give yourself to God. The study of the Word. Your life will start to shine. God will raise you up according to His glory, but you'll start to shine and people will know you're different. You'll be fully known by people around you. New people, old people, relative people. And remember the doctrine. Try not to waver from it. As I close, I want to read something to you that I wrote down many, many years ago, decades. Doctrine. Doctrine is what is right. Give yourself to what is right. Reproof is what is not right. Don't make God discipline you. Stay away from the reproof of life, the things that are not right. Correction is how you get right. And instruction is how you stay right. And we all need to be instructed. Accountable one to another. Eli and I, we work together. We tell each other all the time, if I'm out of line, you let me know. If I'm out of line, you let me know. I have other friends too that I talk to. Dude, tell me if I'm wrong. I have to do this. What do you think? Seek the righteousness of God in all that you do. Heavenly Father, we know we'll never attain it in this tent, Lord God, perfection. But help us to be mature, Lord God. Help us to be desiring the things of Christ and not the things of the world. Let the things of the world get more and more dim in the light of Christ. Father, that as we draw closer to the light, Lord God, that you would burn away all the impurities, Lord God. That you would take away those things, Father, that we tend to cling to for what reason? I don't know, Lord. We're just weird. Our flesh is weird. Help us, Father, to be strong, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Help us to maintain the fellowship of the saints. Help us to be in the Word. Help us to be on our knees, Lord God. And Father, use us as you choose. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.